As a business owner, you're always going that extra mile to pursue your passions. So you deserve partners who can help you go further with premium benefits and rewards. The American Express Business Platinum Card offers world-class business and travel benefits so you can get more for your business wherever it takes you. With the Amex Business Platinum Card, you can earn 1.5 times membership rewards points on select business purchases, and you can get complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Terms and points cap apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/Amex Business. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Mahomes gets hit late!
There's a narrative out there, Creep. What do you say to people who think that there's a zebra thumb on your side of the scale?
I don't really listen to any of that stuff much.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
So the head ref of the Super Bowl, Ron Torbert, didn't set up the Zoom for you? He's not right next to you serving you breakfast?
He's cooking over here right now for him.
Earlier on the show, former NFL general manager Mike Mayock, ESPN SportsCenter host Hannah Storm. Coming up, NFL draft analyst for The Ringer, Todd McShay. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of The Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Todd McShay is going to join us here on the program from the Senior Bowl in about 20 minutes' time. I think he's ducking out of one of the practices that's going on live right now. That you can check out on NFL Network and so much more. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a moment. We started this program talking about legacy and the Super Bowl and what a win would mean for certain legacies. I chose the quarterbacks, coach, and another player from each team. Mahomes, Reed, and Kelsey for the Chiefs, and Hurts, Sirianni, and Saquon for the Eagles, and what a Super Bowl win would mean for their legacies. Obviously, for the Eagles, it would be starting them on a path of being a Super Bowl winner and what comes with that, the trappings, the trimmings, and potentially for players, Hall of Fame consideration later on in their careers. We've been discussing throughout this program everything going on around the NFL. But in terms of legacies, Mahomes was asked this question today. This is fresh pre-Super Bowl sound from Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, I think you always want to leave a legacy and kind of make your imprint on history. But more than anything, you just want to accomplish a goal that you have with your teammates. When you start at St. Joe, your goal is to win the Super Bowl. We know it's a hard process. We know it's a hard week in and week out. But I'm proud of how our guys have kind of went about that process. And we know it's not going to be easy. This team we're playing is a really good football team. But we're going to go out there and put our best effort out there and play as a team. And hopefully that's enough to get a win.
And how much have you admired those athletes like Kobe and Michael and how they've influenced you in your career?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think more than anything is you see the competitors that they are, is that they're going to do whatever it takes to win. That's what you have to be in order to have success in professional sports, is a competitor, someone that's going to put in the work every single week. And watching them and listening to things that when they talk about, that's helped shape my career on how I have to work. And obviously, that's a long way, so I feel like, still for me to go to be mentioned with those guys. But I'll try to do whatever I can to be close enough as I can be.
In terms of that, again, as I mentioned at the top when talking about his legacy, if he wins a Super Bowl MVP, that would give him four. He would join Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, and LeBron James as the only players in any of the North American sports leagues with four more championship MVPs. With a win in Super Bowl 59, how about this one? Mahomes in turn would have 17. He would have 18. Career playoff wins. 18. The only one in front of him is Brady. So if he wins Super Bowl 59, Patrick Mahomes would surpass the Bears, Seahawks, and Titans in terms of playoff wins. Those three franchises. Mahomes individually would surpass them. And so, yeah, his legacy would be completely taken up another notch. And as the only human being that has a chance right now on planet Earth to catch Tom Brady, unless there's somebody, you know, in college right now or high school right now or grade school right now that's going to grow up and become the next Mahomes. Mm-hmm. That's about it.
There is someone.
You know, that's about it. So what do you say, gents? It's now time to throw out a name here as the person on either roster or sideline who would have their legacy built in a way that surpasses any other with a win in the Super Bowl.
Ooh, I think you got to talk about 95. Chris Jones becomes an automatic first ballot Hall of Famer.
With a win?
Yeah.
You don't think he's an automatic first ballot Hall of Famer without a win?
He doesn't have, like, the Defensive Player of the Year or any of that stuff, but, you know, I just think it cements it.
I already think he's kind of there, actually. Okay.
Don't forget about DeAndre Hopkins. That was another name I thought you might have mentioned.
Well, D-Hop is one of the first-timers. There's a lot of first-timers in this league. I don't know. I think DeAndre Hopkins can make is the Hall of Fame the legacy, though? Because, again, we
having that ring certainly helps.
Well, I mean, having the ring to get in, that's one thing. And that's why we talk about Hurts and Saquon and Sirianni, right? Sirianni's not making the Hall of Fame unless he wins two, if not three.
Right.
Reed's in. Every single person that I've mentioned, Mahomes, Reed, and Kelsey, are in the Hall of Fame. The question is where are you on the pecking order within the Hall of Fame when you're going to be walking around, you know, God willing, deep into your 60s, 70s, 80s when you return to Canton, Ohio? How are you viewed within the building?
There's just a long list of wide receivers, you know, kind of in front of him and having the ring, and especially if he plays well, maybe he gets in the end zone. That's a differentiating, you know, element to your resume.
That's why you have to include, or what you're talking about, Hurts. If Jalen Hurts wins this Super Bowl, he is 100% on a different plane than he is than he the guy that we're sitting and talking about right now.
Yeah. Oh, in a weird way.
He is my answer.
He's your answer.
Yeah.
Go for
it. He's the new Russell Wilson if he wins, in a weird way. Early in his career.
I mean, that's just it. Like, as a quarterback, we put all the wins and losses on you. Not only did you win a Super Bowl, but you came back after losing a Super Bowl, which, as you said earlier, just to get it back never happened. So him being – and remember, he had an argument to be MVP of the last Super Bowl they were in, even though they lost. So him winning would – that's next level for him. And I think his legacy – Mahomes is already established. He's good. This will take him up to the top tier of quarterbacks.
The only reason why I keep landing back on Mahomes is because of being mentioned as the all-time 100%, no questions about it, great.
Well, that won't happen, though.
What if he plays deep into his 40s just like Brady and wins more?
Well, because there's always going to be a Chris Brockman out there that will tell you if he doesn't win more Super Bowls than Brady.
No, I mean,
and even if he ties him, his argument is when they went head-to-head, Brady beat him. So he's going to have to clear Brady by at least one Super Bowl.
But the fact that we're even in the realm, for him to be in that realm, to win again this year and get four before he's 30, to tie Montana and Bradshaw before you even turn 30.
That's
it's
wild.
It's insane.
That's wild.
Because this is what Bill Burr was talking about earlier this week, and with a more of a nefarious angle from the NFL's point of view, is that the Brady stuff and the Montana stuff, you know, the Brady stuff was just absurd because we all grew up, Montana and Bradshaw are impossible to reach.
Gold standard, right?
And we're seeing somebody reach it before he's 30. There's got to be something in the ether here that's a guiding hand, because it makes the entertainment product, as he said, more of a an interest to others. Now, it's silly what he's doing.
It's insanity.
So you add to the silliness, and now you're getting to a point where he's setting a standard for anybody before they turn 30 that may never be matched, and it wasn't even touched by Brady. Brady's longevity is what got him to the seven. And the longevity and how terrific he was so deep is something that, again, is what Mahomes is going to have to set his sights on next. And Brett Veach, you know.
Continuing to build the roster.
Reed is going to have to stay and whatever. But that's why I'm talking about legacy there, that eclipses. It's really your definition of legacy. Is it, you know, walking into the Hall of Fame and being able to say, I'm... If there was a pecking order like Dion says there should be, right?
levels, right?
Levels. If there's levels, I'm on the top floor. You know, good to see you join our ranks, Mr. One Ring,
right?
Mr. Two Rings, you know, or Mr. One Ring and Mr. Two Rings is still better than Mr. No Rings.
True.
And Jalen Hurts having one ring at this point in time with, by the way, A.J. Brown is not, like, long in the tooth. Neither is Devontae Smith. Saquon isn't, which is the other crazy thing. It's not like he was 31, 32, like Derrick Henry's age when the Giants are like, go ahead for no compensation to us.
Right.
Sirianni's the fifth youngest coach to return to the Super Bowl for a second time. He's in his mid-40s. So he's going nowhere unless, you know, there's some Philadelphia story of leopard face eating that comes from a difficult sports town on occasion. You know, I don't see it. Howie Roseman's not going anywhere. Jeff Lurie's not going anywhere. But so you got to start somewhere and to prevent the three-peat in the process. You see where I'm going with legacy building? So you choose Hurts. Who do you choose, Chris? You can choose Andy Reid too, pal.
Oh, I was going to say Spags. Is he the best DC ever?
Yeah.
Well, I think he already has the most rings of any coordinator. He's already there.
Yeah.
You know?
He's been a big story, though. I mean, waited all game to dial up the one blitz at the one perfect time against Buffalo. And we've kind of seen that all year. The defense kind of carried them at the first part of the year before Mahomes kind of got his foot fitting and really had an awesome second half of the season. I don't know. It's a good question.
That's why we're asking it. By the way, earlier today, getting a... from Mike Mayock. That's a great, great, great. He said great three times in terms of the question I asked him. By the way, the 2007 version of me is like doing jumping jacks that Mike Mayock thought I did a great, I gave him a great, great, great question.
Yeah, if you want to talk about Andy Reid, he's on his way to being the best coach ever and kind of, you know, knocking Bill off that platform, especially if he's going to coach another, I don't know, what he's like 66, I think. So if he's going to coach into his 70s, you know, keeping Mahomes around, you know, that's a pretty select group of four-time Super Bowl winners. There's literally only three people right now, right?
I mean, certainly you're seeing a 73-year-old just got hired in Vegas. So you say Andy Reid, seven more years. I mean, based on the last 7 years, he's made the AFC Championship game every time, and he's made five Super Bowls in the last six. So he could absolutely eclipse.
He could. I mean, Bill and Tom had a 10-year drought before the second
run. So that's the question. Is the legacy question somebody that's already gotten an insane amount and that you're now compiling to get to the point where others will never touch you and you're in the most rarefied dynastic air, or you're just starting and creating your own legacy? Which if you lose, you're not going to do. That's the question, is what do you value more, the first or the umpteenth? And I kind of go, like, I know you go first, but
I go first.
I know it's got to start somewhere.
I go first,
but when you're first going against umpteenth,
I know,
with a triple play at stake here that we've never seen in the NFL. You know, I kind of land on the umpteenth, and I land on the quarterback in the quarterback sport where there's only one guy, and Brady's again. If Mahomes wins this game, he's got 18 playoff wins. He's officially halfway to Brady.
That's insane.
He's more than halfway to Brady in terms of championships, and then he's about to turn 30. So how do you not choose Mahomes? And so that, and by the way, kudos to him for when he's asked about his legacy, he's talking about his teammates.
Yeah.
And he's also what? He's on the cap for $50 million next year. $10 million less than Dak and Justin Herbert.
I mean, that massive deal. Everyone was like, "Well, this is going to end up. Yeah. He's going to age well, for the Chiefs."
And by the way, if this allows him to have Chris Jones sack the quarterback and allows him to have, you know, the flexibility to go and get DeAndre Hopkins in the middle of the season, I understand that that's not led to, you know, actual touchdowns, but it means a lot if you're able to do all that. What does he care? $50 million is enough, and it's still a lot. And as long as he, you know,
as long as he's happy with it,
what does he care? People are like, well, wait a minute. Do you see who's making more than you?
Oh, yeah,
Less than me in every other metric?
He's got like 9 holes on his.
He's got a par 3 course in his backyard.
He's got a 50-yard football field. I think he's good.
My trophy case. You know, that's all he's got to say.
Life is good for Patrick,
which is why I land on him. Biggest legacy is like, okay, now he's with Bradshaw and Montana, and he's not even 30. Oof. Something Brady wasn't able to say either. So that's legacy. I mean, that's it. But, I mean, if you're basically saying you're already in the Hall of Fame, which is the ultimate legacy piece you can have.
He's for sure already in.
Oh, so yeah.
It's like,
like, if he just says, you know what, he shocks everybody and he
retires?
Peace out.
What if he wins the Super Bowl this year and was like, look, I've done all I can here. I'm going to go back to my first love, baseball. And Patrick Mahomes.
And then guess what? Then everyone in the AFC would be like, hey, let's call up Hakeem Olajuwon and see what he was able to do when that happened in his sport.
We're good.
Hey.
We're going to get these 2 years real quick before he comes to his senses.
That's it.
A lot of people happy in Buffalo and Baltimore.
Everyone would be buying Memphis Chicks jerseys.
Free wings for everybody in Buffalo.
Is that where we're playing?
Well, remember, he's part owner of the Royals, so whatever they're...
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to go play AAA for the Royals.
Does he have to enter like the supplemental like
now that's
B
a legacy
draft or something?
Right. I wonder if he
wins a couple
get drafted
series?
By baseball. I don't know. Like so many of these guys do get drafted and we don't know about it.
And Carson Wentz will be like, what? Who said what?
Hey. Okay.
Okay, very good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know, everybody, you can get a Hyundai through Amazon right now.
What?
Yes. You know, you can get, by the way, I'm getting a whole bunch of stuff. Hyundai is a great thing you can order on Amazon. And the best part, you don't even have to break down a car-sized Amazon box after, because you can pick up your Hyundai at the dealer. Hyundai is now available on Amazon. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Limited availability. You can pick up through a participating Hyundai dealer in select markets. When we come back, joining us from the Senior Bowl practice, our friend, now in the ringer, Todd McShay, rejoins us. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you should know you should check your draft stats first before you put them on your fantasy team. Or you should definitely check the expiration date on that can of bean dip you picked up at the gas station first before you dive in. Yeah. Checking first is smart, so check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. See Allstate.com for details. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Let's talk Live Good, people. We all take supplements, or at least we know we should. But why are so many supplement companies charging ridiculous prices for products that really aren't that special? It's frustrating. That's why I want to introduce you to Live Good, a brand that's turning the supplement industry on its head. LiveGood believes that everyone deserves access to high-quality supplements without the insane markups. They offer premium products formulated by their industry-leading team of natural health experts, and they cut out the middleman to sell them at some of the lowest prices anywhere. You're going to love it. Collagen peptides, energy endurance electrolytes, organic coffee, organic super greens, protein powder, weight loss products, hormone products, skincare products, all highest quality products at prices people can actually afford. Ready to make the switch and start saving? Well, we'll make it even easier for you. Use our link and you can save an additional 10% off your first order on top of the already lowest prices. Just go to livegood.com/rich to save 10% on your first order. That's livegood.com/rich. Don't miss out on this opportunity to invest in your health without overspending. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Let's talk Sleep Number, people. In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game, or as you can tell, right around these times, an entire season. So you gotta be on your game. Science proves quality sleep can help you boost your reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. So why not do it for yourself? I do it. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It is just 10 numbers apart, but being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out or for recovery, it's a game changer. So why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now save 50% on the new Sleep Number limited edition smart bed, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Limited time. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, we're going to get to Todd McShay shortly when the radio audience returns. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. So, yeah, it's just amazing how the talent evaluation. So the Chiefs and the Eagles are sending people down to check out the Senior Bowl because you got to be able to walk in and win championships at the same time, right?
That's right.
East-West Shrine. And so there's lots going on there. You ever go to a – you've never been to a Senior Bowl, right?
No, I've been to two.
I called one.
I worked two for NFL Network.
Did you really?
Yeah. 10 and 11 or maybe 11 and 12. I remember the one year Russell Wilson was there, and I remember standing on the sideline during practice thinking, there's no way this guy's be any good. He's way too small.
Small.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And?
Worked out okay for Russ. That would have been 2012, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the same year as Kirk Cousins. Kirk was also there. Nick Foles, I think, was also there.
I think, did DJ say the Ravens or the Eagles were set to get, that they wanted him? Remember that? He was in the Eagles draft room and that Doug Peterson, that they wanted him and they couldn't get him.
Wanted Russ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That would have been Oof. It's interesting that you made that comparison that Hurts would be the Russell Wilson of the new Russell Wilson to win this
early in his career. And then still kind of have the rest of the go and now you're on a Hall of Fame trajectory. Can you get the second one, get over the top, you know, keep your career going on that ride?
I don't have the numbers here. It's not in the Super Bowl packet, but Mahomes has now set the record for winning multiple playoff games in consecutive years, which Russ used to have.
Oh, interesting.
But now Mahomes has it. Unreal, man. Superb. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Look who's stopping by from the Senior Bowl and joining us from just off of the field at the University of South Alabama from at Hancock Whitney Stadium, everybody. From the Ringer, Todd McShay, back on the program. Great to see you, Todd.
What's up, Todd?
Good to see you, Rich. I must really like you guys. Peeling myself away from, you know how important these drills are, the red zone drills for the quarterbacks. No, it's good to be with you. How you doing?
Hopefully you got somebody to tell you what I miss in those drills. So what is standing out to you at this Senior Bowl, getting ready for the draft, Todd?
I think the trenches, like the offensive and defensive line, have been outstanding. The defensive lineman in particular, Mike Green from Marshall, is going to be a first-round pick. He had an awesome rep. If you get on social media, you'll see it yesterday, just getting underneath the pads of Josh Connerly, who's also going to be a first-round pick, the Oregon offensive tackle, and just plowing through him. But it's been, you know, the first 2 days of practices for Green just standing out as an elite edge rusher. Then you've got Walter Nolan, defensive tackle from Ole Miss, who, after the first couple of days, we have seen a couple of guys decide to leave early, kind of nicked up a little bit. But you still see Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, another first-round prospect, is here, grinding through it today, looking good. Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M. He's one of my favorite players in the entire draft. You talk about like the physicality. Translating to the NFL as a pass rusher, it's not just about the speed and getting around the edge. It's about working through offensive tackles and the length and the power and then just the commitment to getting home. And he's shown all of that this week in addition to the tape that we've seen all year long. So those are a few of the first-round guys that really stood out here this week.
How are the Eagles and the Chiefs doing what they're doing, and they're back in the Super Bowl against each other for the second time in 3 years? How is it influencing the talent evaluation and roster building in your estimation, Todd?
Well, I mean, I just went to Chicken Salad Chick. You ever been there down south? It's an institution for lunch, right? And to the right of me were the whole personnel, not the whole, but a big group, a large contingent of Chiefs scouts and personnel people. So they're here, man. I mean, it doesn't stop. Just if you're going to win a Super Bowl, it doesn't mean you stop the scouting process. So they're both organizations are here. Had a really good opportunity to sit down with Mitch Lucario and talk about, you know, how close they are. Eric Bacosta, the general managers of the Texans and the Bills, respectively. And, you know, to be this close in a conference with these quarterbacks and how important this process is as part of the offseason process, it's kind of fascinating stuff, to be honest. We'll be airing that in the next couple of weeks. But it's amazing the detail that goes into the scouting process. And just talking to area scouts, Rich, and you'll appreciate this. Like, these guys are away from their families for like 4 months on the road from one stop to the next. It used to be you'd roll up to an Ole Miss, right? And you'd have like 8 to 10 prospects that you'd have to evaluate. Well, with the COVID year, with NIL, with the transfer portal, I talked to a scout today. He said he had 32 players. There are 22 starters, 32 players he had to do backgrounds on, film study on. So the landscape has changed, but the process has not.
So I guess in that regard, before we start drilling down in terms of the specifics of the draft, what advice of just seeing what the Bills, what happened on Sunday? And I know Brandon Bean just said, because he's up in Western New York conducting his press conference today to end the season, that you're never just one player away. But what do they need? What might be behind you on this field or in this year's draft that they could go and supplement to try and finally get past the Chiefs, if that is what is needed, Todd?
Well, if you really go back and study, right, and every year we want to take a great quarterback and say, well, add another weapon, right? And that's the easy thing to do. Or plug in an offensive lineman, which has been typically teams continue to grind away at getting the best offensive front there. But I want you to go back, do a little research project at some point when you're getting ready for the combine and for the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. Look at the Chiefs since Patrick Mahomes' draft. Look at the Eagles since they got their guy in Jalen Hurts. Look at the Ravens, historical. Look at all the best teams in the NFL. Look at the Bills is another example. You get your quarterback, and he's going to make up for a lot of the sins on the offensive side. He's going to protect the 10 on that side. But if you get your quarterback, the great teams and the consistently successful teams, they just keep loading up on defense, and specifically defensive front, and then maybe a corner here and there. But that's been the formula for a lot of successful organizations. So while everyone wants to see one more weapon or, you know, a flashy player, a lot of times it's just continuing to add pass rushers, defensive tackles, impact players on the defensive side. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see that trend continue with a lot of these organizations. The organizations we look at and say, you know what, they've got a formula and it's successful and it works.
Todd McShay for The Ringer here on the Rich Eisen Show. All that said, who in your estimation is the best offensive weapon available in this year's draft, Todd?
It's a good question. I think Travis Hunter from Colorado, Heisman Trophy winner.
Nice.
Where are we going to play him, right? I mean, that's the big question. Because I look at him right now based off of tape, and you would think it would be cornerback is his best spot because it's kind of how, you know, he was kind of pitched as a cornerback coming out of high school, and it was all about his cornerback skills, and he's a dynamic playmaker on that side of the ball. I actually think, Rich, he's a better wide receiver right now.
Wow.
But the tricky part, if you're an NFL team, you know, if you're Tennessee sitting at number one, if you're you know, Cleveland or Giants, you don't go quarterback. Or if he were to fall to the Patriots at four, I think you have to play him as at the primary position at corner and then put in packages for him on the offensive side. And that, to me, you go back in history, like even Dion, I went back and looked. I think he had like 60 career catches or something like that. Champ Bailey had like two. Don't quote me on anything. But the point is, all the guys that we think back, like, yeah, they did some work on both sides of the ball. It's minuscule in terms of the production on the offensive side. So if Hunter truly is going to be a generational talent, I think it's going to have to be a cornerback and then putting in a set of plays every single week to try to get him the ball, get it in his hands. In you know, maybe it's 10, 12 plays on the offensive side of the ball. But he's the most dynamic playmaker in the entire draft. You got Teterow McMillan, who's a tall, lanky receiver who can get vertical and tested catches coming out of Arizona. I think he's the number one wide receiver. I think Matthew Golden from Texas is the most underrated wide receiver in the class. And it took until late in the season at Texas for him to emerge. But I see like a bigger Tank Dell in terms of the route running quickness and suddenness and separation skills. So he's a name as we get closer to the draft. I think you're going to start to hear more and more about. Wide receiver group, though, we've been spoiled for the last 8 years. We have been absolutely spoiled. You know, with four, five, six receivers in every class and three or four of them every year where we're like, we know they're going to be a star. You know, you look back on the Jamar Chases and Justin Jeffersons, like you just know that they're going to be exceptional at the next level. And this year, we don't really truly have that kind of talent at the top. I do think at running back, though, this is the best running back class in 25 years of doing it that I've seen in terms of depth. And it starts with Ashton Jeanty from Boise State, who is, you know, one of the runner-ups for Heisman Trophy. But beyond that, like Travion Henderson talking to scouts here, who was in a rotation at Ohio State, he, for a lot of teams, he's RB2, if you will. And his combination of speed and the thing that caught a lot of scouts' eyes, too, the blocking in the college football playoff, blocking in the run game, blocking in pass protection. It's going to be intriguing to see, but I think we could see more running backs drafted this year than we've seen in at least a decade.
Well, it makes sense that an Ohio State guy could block, because I mean that's why Zeke was a top five pick, because he could he would stay out there on third down and be just as valuable as his first two downs. And you know, it's just interesting though, Todd. I asked you, you know, most explosive offensive weapon, and you go Travis Hunter. And you mentioned Dion. Dion always told me he was a five down player. Three on defense, stay out there on special teams and play first down on offense. And then when I brought up, you know, can Travis Hunter play both sides of the ball in the pros? He goes, absolutely. And if you don't want to do that, don't draft him. And if you do, he still has a year of eligibility left. That's what he told me. And but in all seriousness, the thing that he said that sticks with me also is that you draft him to play defense and your team's struggling on offense and you're a coach and you're looking on the sideline and your best offensive player standing next to you, you know, you're not going to look good as a coach or an organization.
Totally agree.
So what are the scouting community and those in your talent evaluation community saying about his possibility of playing 100 snaps as a pro, 110 snaps as a pro? What are they thinking here? Todd,
I think we all agree he's truly different, right? And he has a motor that maybe we've never seen before coming out in the NFL draft, and the ability to actually handle that, and with the kind of the GPS tracking and all the health monitoring that we have in technology now, like it shows that he's capable of it, right? But there's also a management, you know, we hear load management a lot, right? In the NBA. How can I make sure this guy's going to play 17 NFL regular season games and be able to play in the playoffs? And I think in the longevity of his career, like it's great to get that out of him as a rookie, but how long is he going to hold up? And he's not going to be 22 years old for very long, you know? And when he gets to 24, 25, 20. So I think everyone's kind of cautiously optimistic is the best way I would put it, in that he's going to carry a load as a skill position player that maybe we've never seen before. Okay. That's the jumping off point. But I think there's going to be a work as you go type of mentality to it. And let's see what he truly is capable of. He's also been nicked up a little bit. And you look at his frame, and it's comparatively slight compared to some of these other bigger receivers or bigger cornerbacks that we're seeing here at the Senior Bowl and you'll see at the Combine and throughout the whole draft process. And so then you wonder, all right, it's a different deal. Wide receiver, I'm not worried as much, but the cornerback spot, shoulders, pick, you know, tackling, going and being the aggressor at times, how can he hold up? And there's no, obviously there's no way to tell. And every player has risk of durability issues at the next level, but you kind of, you have to manage that. And I think each team's going to kind of have a different view on it. The coaches are going to be like, yeah, we want on both sides. Of course, we're going to put him out there. But part of that process is going to be making sure that he can be a valuable asset on both sides of the ball for an entire year and have a long career doing that.
Before I send you back into the practice field, Todd, how do you evaluate this year's quarterback class?
Not what it was last year, obviously. You know, I think the jumping off point for Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart, those to me are the three best quarterbacks in this class. I think the jumping off point, no matter who you have as QB1, a lot of people I talk to in the league, it's Cam Ward. Some people, Shedeur Sanders. I haven't heard anyone with QB1 on Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, but I have heard that the gap between Shedeur and Jackson is a lot closer than what maybe the public thinks. So with that as the backdrop, and you don't just compare it to last year's draft, but if you were, the jumping off point where you would even like feasibly have a conversation, where would this guy's top quarterback go? Let's call it Cam Ward. It would probably be 4, but quite honestly, it might be 5. You know, when you get down to what most teams had with Michael Penix, Bo Nix, is QB5, QB6 in last year's class. So there's a few really potential starting quarterbacks in this class. It's not what it was a year ago, but I think Cam Ward specifically, if in the right opportunity, developed by the right coach, he has the best tools. He's more mobile than Shedeur. He has a stronger arm than Shedeur. But Shedeur is more, I want to say, refined and processes quicker at this point and understands the passing concepts better and is a better – he's the best pure passer in this class. But with Shedeur, you've got kind of an average arm, just average mobility, and it's a tendency – in the pocket to put himself in a lot of risk. And he's tough and he's been durable, but he takes a lot of sacks. He has a lot of negative plays, and that's a concern that teams are kind of working through as well. And then with Jackson Dart, there's no elite trait where you look at him out here, it's like not their strongest arm, but he's got a strong arm. He's certainly not Lamar. He's not Jalen Milroe on the practice field moving around, but he's mobile. He's absolutely a weapon when you need to run him. So He's good in every area. I think the reason why Jackson Dart, as we get closer, is going to start to climb is he's been through so many battles in the SEC. He's unbelievably competitive, very calm. He doesn't get rattled very easily. And you see a guy who went from in 2023 to a little bit more of a system quarterback, run-heavy offense, kind of took his shots to he was carrying his team this past year and making a lot more NFL throws than I remember seeing from him on the field for a couple games live and watching his tape in 2022 and 2023. So I think as we get closer, Jackson Dart's name is going to start to climb up the ladder.
And then just, you know, last one for you here. It's a tough question to ask and put you in a position, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm making you Deion Sanders. Congratulations, Todd.
Okay.
And you would want Shedeur to land where? Knowing the coach there, we don't know some of the coordinators yet, but, you know, I don't know if Tennessee's going to go in that direction, but there's Brian Callahan. The Cleveland Browns clearly have Deshaun Watson whenever he comes back, but there's Stefanski sitting there. The Giants have got Malik Nabers and a coach and general manager that has been told by the owner, you better do it this year. You've got Pete Carroll in Vegas with Tom Brady in the front office. The Jets at 7. Where do you want him winding up if you're Deion?
Not with the Jets at 7. I would say the two that jump out to me, I think there's more rebuilding in Tennessee. Cleveland has struggled to get it done with the quarterback for a long, long time. I think the Giants with Brian Daboll, I think if you go back and look at his history, he can coach quarterbacks. He just hasn't had one. And I've known that for a long time with Daniel Jones. And he got the most out of Daniel Jones he could get. But Brian Daboll can flat out coach quarterbacks. So that is one of the spots that I would say if I'm Coach Prime. The other would be the Raiders, because we're all seeing it now. Tom Brady's going to be intimately involved, and I want that guy around my son like he was last summer. Reports are true. You know, spending some time with Shador. And I want him involved in the process of developing my son as a quarterback. So those would be the two places right now that I think if I was Deion Sanders, I would say those are the two of the six teams in the top 10 that are looking at quarterback by my estimation. Those are the two that I would want the most.
Todd, you're the man. Thanks for stepping out. Go back to your day job, and let's look for more of my calls, brother. I miss chatting with
all
you.
All right.
Good to see you.
All right, catch the McShay Show, man. Spotify, The Ringer, let's go.
The McShay Show on Spotify and The Ringer. We will do so, sir. And let me know if you ever need me on as a guest or what. I'd love to ever reciprocate. You've always been generous. You've always been generous to me. Thank you.
It's coming up. I'm going to get my payback. It's coming.
Do it.
I'll see you guys.
Got it. That's Todd McShay, everybody. Check out the McShay Show. I would term it something other than payback. You know, that sounded very nefarious.
He was a hostage, not a volunteer.
Right, seriously, I'm happy to do it. My goodness, I mean, Todd's the best man. That was fun. I miss chatting with him. Oh, we're gonna have a fun next couple of months here. 844-204 Rich, number to dial here on the program. Let's take a break. Sports update right now here on the Infinity Sports Network with Manny Rodriguez. Manny. Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I? Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. And they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now, this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com.
This episode is brought to you by Love Hurts. Kiwi Kwan has had quite a career, from childhood roles in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and the Goonies to a recent Academy Award win for Everything Everywhere All at Once. But now, Kiwi finally stars as a leading man in the film Love Hurts. Love Hurts is the perfect date night movie with its mix of over-the-top action, comedy, and a ton of heart. Love Hurts, only at theaters February 7th.
Okay, here we go. Mike Del Tufo.
I'm in my natural environment.
You are.
I'm field with cheerleaders.
Emily, take it away.
Hey, Mike, are you nervous?
Emily? No, not at all.
Good. Well, here are your set of pop-ups.
All right.
Okay. God. Here, I'll take it.
How do you guys hold on to these things? Oh, there we go.
Your microphone.
There we go.
All right, Mike. So what move are you teaching him?
Okay, so we're going to do a dance. This is how it's going to start. You're going to step out, and your arms are going to go right, left, right.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, then you're going to box and pump. Good.
Box and pump. Okay. So right, left, right, box and pump.
5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4. Good.
Close.
Now your hips are going to go right, left while you frame your face. So 5, 6. And now.
Get those hips in there, Mike. Come on.
Hair.
I got a really. Oh.
Got a big hair flip to the back. And then hair flip all the way over to the front.
Hair flip.
Good.
That's
okay.
Definitely one thing
Let's
I couldn't
that
do.
Okay. Ready?
Oh my God.
And 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Right. Show off your red boots and walk. So hair flip, maybe. Yeah.
Has to be a sassy walk.
Yeah. Sassy walk. So walk 1, 2.
That's not sassy enough.
3. Step together. 4. Now pump it. 5, 6.
Oh, you guys are real.
Eight.
No way.
You gotta get low on
Mike,
that.
Mike, focus.
You gotta like. Low on that.
Right. Okay. Come up just a cheer.
So ready. Take it from the hair flip. Ready. Right. And 5, 6, seven, eight, one, two, Sassy. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Can we do it from the top?
Let's do it from the top.
Top. Ready?
Okay, hold on a minute.
Real fast. Oh, wow.
So how would I introduce?
Is HTC Mike.
HTC Mike, I like it. Here we go, HTC okay, Mike ready. And the Houston Texas Cheerleaders, everybody.
Five, six, seven, eight, one, two.
Emily, tell him what he's won.
Mike, and for being a great sport, we brought you a fully signed Houston Texans cheerleading gown.
Yeah. All right. Mike Del Tufo's, it's a Delphi. It's the first Delphi of the week.
HTC Mike.
Fantastic.
You did great.
Not creepy at all. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, top left, the date, 8 years ago today.
Oh, my God. Woof.
8 years ago today. Woof. We've been at this a long time.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you not get to, you were invited back to be a
judge, I did. I went to be the judge.
That was the year for what?
For their tryouts.
For the tryouts.
That was amazing. That was actually really cool to watch.
Did they fly you out for that, or you flew there?
No, I think I flew myself.
But they invited you.
That was cool. That was actually a lot of fun.
To be a judge.
To watch them how they do it, it was insane.
I mean, it's serious.
I bet it was work, Mike.
There have been documentaries. Isn't there documentaries on like the
Dallas Cowboys? Cowboys, famously.
You're ahead of the game, Mike. And to think you can't do a gymnastics thing.
Ah, I can't. I can't perform gymnastics.
Ah, mixing. My bad. Very good. Love it. Wow. Whether you're ordering wings for the game, whipping up a seven-layer dip, or ordering pizza, there's something about football that makes you want to eat. Jerry's eating rice. I love that commercial. This football season, Uber Eats has the best deals on game day food, no matter what you're craving. From 2-for-1 pizza to buy one, get one wings, Uber Eats has been dropping new deals every week all season long. Uber Eats, the official on-demand delivery partner of the NFL. Order now for game day. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details. All right, so Mayock first hour, McShay third hour. We're getting an idea that defensive line is the best group in this year's draft. If you're looking for an edge rusher, you're looking for a run stuffer, you're looking for a big-time player in the middle of your defense, you're in luck. You're looking for a wide receiver. It's every year. This year maybe not as great as previous ones, but pretty damn good ones.
Yeah, running back pretty deep.
If you're looking for a running back, all right, you're in good shape. And if you're looking for a quarterback, hope they're as good as you think they are. Am I wrong of saying that that's what we're looking at right now?
That's kind of first reaction to this part of the year.
And the mystery is who's going to be in on that sweepstakes. And do the Giants just sit there at 3 and get their choice of a quarterback? Because the Titans are like, we'll take one of these edge rushers. And the Browns are like, well, we're not going to utilize the second overall pick on a quarterback we're not totally sold on. Let's get Travis Hunter, who is as great a player that could be out there. What if this guy can pull off 100 snaps for a couple seasons, three seasons? Is that enough? Then you just eventually say, choose one? Choose a position? Because how about McShay? I ask him who is the most dynamic offensive player in the draft? And he says Travis Hunter. And that you could make a case that he's the best receiver in the draft. And you make him a receiver and have him out there every now and then on defense?
So he's playing, what, like third down defense? He's like a nickel guy?
I don't know. That you limit his snaps on defense and he's your offensive threat? Or he's so damn good on defense that he erases half the field and can be more effective there because he's not ball dependent on that side. And you then have the packages on offense for him because as the words that Deion said, Deion saying, hey, if you draft him and you don't think he can play both ways, then he's still got a year of eligibility left. Sounds like, that's more bark than bite, right? That he's not coming back to Colorado.
No.
Okay. But the what he said that really resonates more than anything, more than I, you know, that I would coach, you know, but only if my sons come, all that. The thing that resonates to me, and I'm going to mention this over and over again when the subject matter of Travis Hunter comes up, when I'm whether I'm in the combine booth or sitting here at this chair, is Deion saying, if you don't play him both ways and you think he's just a defender and your offense is struggling and you're a head coach and your best offensive weapon is standing right next to you on the sideline, how's that going to play? That resonates with me. He could not be more wrong on that front. I mean, more right. He could not be more right about that.
I'm worried. I'm worried about the idea of having a package, and then all of a sudden he trots out on the field, and you're like, "Well,
you got to force it to him."
Hunter's in the game. Yeah, well, he's the number one option. I mean that as a tell, like a giveaway.
Or do you play him every defensive snap, and you play him on offense till the wheels come off?
Or you play him on first and second down, or second and third down.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Not just a package,
right?
But
so when he comes out,
he's
there,
in the rotation.
You're not just saying okay, but. If he does come out there on second and third down and it's just a package for him, doesn't that open things up elsewhere? Right? Doesn't that make it, you're now hyper aware of when this guy comes on the field. If he's the best offensive weapon in the draft. I was expecting Ashton Gentry or any of the wide receivers who don't play defense as well. But for McShay to say that was something else, man.
So DJ Moore led the wide receivers in snaps this year, 63 a game.
How many snaps per game, if you can look it up, did Surtain play, for instance? A guy who may be defensive player of the year at corner.
Standby.
Speaking of defenders in Colorado, how many did he play?
He played 61 a game.
So you add Surtain with DJ Moore and you get 120 snaps a game.
That's a lot of snaps. But if he can get 90 snaps a game?
You've got to have, with all of these slide rule experts and analytics people, come up with the number. What's the number of snaps per game that you think would be effective, successful, that somebody of his prowess can deal? Deion's on the show next week in New Orleans, Friday. I'm just going to ask, well, give me a number. How many snaps do you think the kid can play? What a fascinating figure. This could be like the Ohtani of the NFL. I'm serious. And if you think he can play both ways and be as effective as the best receiver on your team and a guy who can erase half the field, how the hell is he not the number one overall draft choice?
Right.
If the Tennessee Titans think we're talking to him, we have gone through the sports science of it, our medical shows he's completely clean. And by that I mean there's no bumps, there's no bruises, there's no, well, you broke a bone when you were 8. We could see it on our x-rays. You know, if you think he is ready to go, how the hell is he not the first overall pick? When you're taking on the Chiefs, he wipes out their best receiver, and then you take on the rest of the league, and he's your best offensive weapon. How is he not number one overall?
Actor Michael Rosenbaum, he knows some of the most talented people in the business, and now he's getting the inside story.
Let's get inside of Heather Graham.
I can't look at like Boogie Nights and think that you were a nerd.
Johnny Knoxville.
You think you're going to do another Jackass movie?
What do your kids want?
Dad's not going to do that. Yeah. You got to be careful how you choose your heroes.
Hear from some of the most fascinating people in pop culture today.
Danny Trejo.
You're a legend. Do you know you're a legend?
You can't be a legend having this much fun.
The Inside of You podcast. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.